CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Hello, Buckeye fans, and welcome to another episode of the Bucknuts Happy Hour. I'm Patrick Murphy here to talk some Buckeyes today. We're going to do probably a little bit shorter of a show today. It's been a busy week, crazy week. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, you know about the tornado warnings that went off the other night. We're going to do a little bit shorter, but try and get in some good stuff here before we begin. Drinking a PBR. Got to keep it light. Got a basketball game to cover this evening. So cheers. We'll pour this. We'll have a little bit of this during the show. We'll see how it goes. If you have any questions, if you're watching this live, feel free to throw those in the chat here. We'll try and get to some of those towards the end. But what I want to focus on mainly today is Ohio State's transfer players. And I know we've kind of talked about a number of those guys throughout the last month or so since they arrived on campus, but we haven't done a show strictly on those six players the Buckeyes landed out of the transfer portal and kind of what the expectations should be for those guys going forward. And for some of them, not even just this season. So I want to go guy by guy here and just kind of look ahead and evaluate what they bring to the program both this year and then if they are eligible to remain beyond the season, we'll kind of talk about what they could bring beyond that. So let's start with Will Howard, quarterback. He was the second, I believe, of the six to commit to Ohio State, but obviously a position Ryan Day evaluated this end of the season, telling Kyle McCord he couldn't promise him a starting spot. Kyle McCord hits the transfer portal. You have about a month before the Cotton Bowl where you're watching Devin Brown, Lincoln Kienholz, and who knows how this plays out if Devin Brown, for instance, goes out in the Cotton Bowl and just has a fantastic game against Missouri. Didn't happen. He gets hurt. Lincoln Kienholz, not ready, but has to come into the game. Doesn't have a great game either. And if you believe Will Howard, when we spoke with him, and I have no reason not to, Ohio State kind of slow played him a little bit in wanting to. Cheers. Had to let the foam go down on that one. The Buckeyes wanted to give this a serious evaluation of Devin Brown, of Lincoln Kienholz, specifically Devin Brown, I think, see if he could be the guy, and then kind of circled back to Will Howard, but kept the door open. And Will Howard said, pretty much, you know, he had other offers, talked to USC, talked to Miami. He decided that he was either going to likely go to Ohio State if that option came open or head off to the NFL, but felt he needed to do more in college to get drafted where he wanted. So Will Howard comes in with high expectations. Obviously, you're a quarterback at Ohio State. And while Ryan Day wouldn't say when we spoke to him last that Will Howard would be the starting quarterback, I think we all know that that's the direction this is heading unless something goes off the rails, right? If Will Howard has just an awful offseason and, you know, maybe Devin Brown has a great offseason, perhaps Devin Brown is your starter day one. But that isn't the plan as of right now, and I don't think that will be how it plays out. So let's just assume Will Howard is the guy when a Buckeyes open the season next fall. So what do you expect out of Will Howard? Well, First of all, big arm, big guy, you know, listed at, pull this up, I think he's 6'5", 242 pounds. So one of the bigger quarterbacks Ohio State has had in quite some time. And there have been a lot of comparisons with him and Josh Allen. And I think there's some similarities, though I don't think they are completely similar. Will Howard first came on the radar with Ohio State, I kind of looked at things and I wasn't sold. Could he be the guy? Yes, he could come in and do the job, but you know, is he Ohio State caliber? The more I watched on Will Howard, and I have to admit, I hadn't watched a lot of Kansas State. I'd seen them against Missouri in the lead up to the Cotton Bowl. I'd watched the Big 12 championship game 2 years ago, all that. But the more I watched, the more I liked what Will Howard was going to bring to this offense. And I think he will be able to distribute the ball to these weapons, which is really all you want, right? And Kyle McCord was able to do that at a level. Now, can Will Howard raise that level? I think so, based on his experience alone and having played multiple seasons in a Power 5 conference, starting at points through three seasons and all of last season, the experience alone should be enough to, okay, read the defense, get the ball to the open guy. It can be that simple in an Ohio State offense with this many weapons, assuming you've got protection up front. Now, Will Howard's legs is something that's been talked about quite a bit, because when he was at Kansas State, he was used quite a bit. And he said he was, there was a play sheet, or part of the play sheet was Will Howard run plays. And he does not see himself as a running quarterback. In his four seasons at Kansas State, 921 rushing yards, 19 touchdowns, pretty good numbers. But he came to Ohio State to throw the ball, to show that he can be an NFL type quarterback. And he said, he'll run when he has to, no doubt about that, but it's not his intent to be a pure dual threat guy. Now, where I think Will Howard will be at his best using his legs is probably down in the red zone. He doesn't scramble a lot. He can, but I think we know the Buckeyes have had issues scoring touchdowns when they get inside the 20s. I do think a guy like Quinshon Judkins, who we'll talk about in a minute, will help with that as well. But I think having that threat, at the very least, of Will Howard being able to use his legs will be big, because last year, Kyle McCord, not nearly as accurate in tight spaces as C.J. Stroud was the year before. And, the Buckeyes paid for it because they also couldn't run the ball well enough. They scored on 50 trips to the red zone. Ohio State scored 32 touchdowns, which, not terrible, but also not what you would expect from a program like Ohio State. So I think you have to show it a little bit with Will Howard probably early. I don't know if you need to use it all the time, but I think just the threat of him being able to do that will make the Buckeyes better down there. So my expectations for Will Howard, probably lower than a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks. I don't anticipate him being a Heisman Trophy candidate at the end of the season. He has the ability to, and obviously there's players around him that will allow that, but I don't think that should be where the bar is for him. His bar should be improvement on Kyle McCord, use your legs when you need to, but mostly be that, get the ball out and make some plays. You can get the ball downfield, which I think will be important with some of the weapons he has around him. But the main thing will just be distributing the weapons, finding the open guy, reading the defense, and, not making the crucial mistake. And obviously Kyle McCord is going to be, despite the good things that he did as the quarterback, I think that the lasting memory is going to be the interceptions thrown against Michigan. So you just need to not make the crucial mistake, right? And you know, Will Howard throughout his career, I think has shown he can do that. So that's kind of where I would set the bar for him. He needs to be an improvement on Kyle McCord, but I don't expect him to reach the levels of a Justin Fields, CJ Stroud necessarily. And I don't know if the Buckeyes need that from him in 2024. Quinshon Judkins, coming from Ole Miss, another guy from Ole Miss. That's, I think, 3 in 2 years now for Ohio State coming from Oxford down south. An interesting situation, obviously, because he committed minutes after Michigan won the national title game, but before Travion Henderson at least made it public that he was planning on returning. Now, Quinshon Judkins said he and Travion Henderson have become social media friends, I guess. They DM or whatnot. Somehow they've gotten to know each other. But maybe Quinshon knew what Travion was going to do. Maybe he didn't. Doesn't really matter. He decided to come to Ohio State for an opportunity. Travion decided to come back. So what that backfield looks like is going to be really interesting and kind of determine what the ceiling is for Quinshon in what I imagine will be his only season in Columbus. He's going into his third year, has played a lot of football already. In his two seasons at Ole Miss, he carried the ball 545 times, 2,725 yards and 31 touchdowns. That's a lot of work on a guy. And we all know the running back position, not one that lasts nearly as long as it used to, and the value tends to drop off. Quinshon was asked about that. He's not concerned right now about that part, but certainly something in his future I think he'll have to think about. So depending on how the Buckeyes want to split this up, and you know, the way I imagine it going would be you've got Travion, you've got Quinshon. I don't think it matters who starts the game, but those are your 1A, 1B. And then if you're going to mix Stallon Hayden in a little bit as well, then maybe you've got a 1A, 1B, 2, because I don't think it will be a three-headed monster. Could be wrong here. Obviously, you want to keep Dallin Hayden happy as well. But for me, Quinshon needs to be, again, another guy who can do some power stuff in the red zone. But that needs to be, however they work it out, nearly a 50-50 split, I think, to keep both guys as healthy as possible going through a long, what could be, what you hope is a long season, right? It could work out that the Buckeyes play 17 games this year if you make it all the way to the national title game and you have to play in that first round in the college football playoffs. So you're going to need both Quinshon and Travion to try and be as healthy as possible for that stretch run. Does that mean his numbers don't look as good as they did at Ole Miss? Probably. Is he going to carry it 270 times, something he did both years at Ole Miss? Actually carried at least 271 times each year. I doubt it, unless Travion gets hurt and the Buckeyes have to go with one running back. I imagine that those numbers come down, and maybe that, you know, the yards per carry and his yards per carry have been good. He's right at 5 yards per carry. Maybe that goes up a little bit because he's fresher in games, splitting up that workload with Travion Henderson. But my expectations are Quinshon Judkins is going to be really good in this backfield. Now, again, the caveat to all of this on the offense is the offensive line has to block for these players, right? But assuming you get at least competency in the run blocking, and Ohio State's run blocking, you know, got better throughout the year, I think Quinshon could have a pretty big season. Now, again, I don't know if he's going to rush for 1,100 yards just because he's not going to get the same kind of workload he got at Ole Miss last year. But I think he's okay with that. And if you can get him and Travion 800, 900 rushing yards each, and maybe Dallin Hayden is in there, you know, if they want to mix him in 300-400 yards, you know, and that may be a little bit much, but you know, if you can figure out that nice rotation with the two, maybe three of them, I think it's the best thing for the team. And when we talked to Quinshon Judkins, he was clear about wanting to win. And you know, he came to Ohio State not only to get developed in a little bit more and head to the NFL. He could have gone to the NFL regardless, if he'd stayed at Ole Miss for another year. But there's an opportunity to do something special here as part of a team. And so I think that he will, you know, accept the role alongside Travion Henderson and still can put up big numbers, just may not be as big as he did at Ole Miss. And I don't think that would be a downgrade. I just think he's being used differently, which is important. Again, offensive line being the ultimate caveat there. Speaking of offensive line, Seth McLaughlin, he clarified that. Played center the last year and a half or so at Alabama, was really good two seasons ago when he stepped in. Last year, I think people know by now, he had the snapping issues. It came to prominence, so to speak, in the college football playoff semifinal against Michigan. That last play in particular, going to stop and have a drink here. Cheers. In overtime. But going back and looking at Seth McLaughlin's overall game, I think this is a guy to be excited about. I expect him to be the Buckeyes' starting center. Obviously, he has to earn that job, but I don't, other than Carson Hinsman, Josh Padilla, there's not a lot challenging a guy who has that kind of experience, right? And especially if Carson Hinsman is not, you know, they're not as happy with what he did last season. So this is a guy who I think has only given up one sack in his career. So the blocking has been very good. The snapping is a thing that I think you can work out. And frankly, I think a change of scenery might be good for him in that department. Now, you think about it, you're the starting center at Alabama, right? And every offensive snap starts with you snapping the ball. Well, you start to have a couple of these mistakes, especially in some high profile games. And, you know, you're at Alabama. It's very similar to Ohio State, and the fan base gets talking and you get asked about it throughout the season, and it's coming up in team meetings. You know, you're just thinking about it a lot. And I don't know if he was ever able to kind of put it to the side last year. And he admitted when we spoke with him, McLaughlin did, that there was a mental component to bad snaps. And I think, you know, not only did he say that Justin Fry has a plan in place to help with not just that, but just the issue, any issues they saw in film. But I think just getting out of Tuscaloosa, going to a new fan base that isn't thinking about that as much. Obviously the people who have paid attention know that history, but I think getting a new space, getting in a different headspace, working in a new facility, different teammates, things like that. I think that can help you snap out of, you know, a rut, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it. Because if you look back before last season, before it kind of started to spiral on McLaughlin, there were no snapping issues. It just wasn't, you know, he didn't have them. And so to me, that doesn't show that he has bad technique or any of those things, that he can't do it. He's been playing since, I think he said, fourth or fifth grade at center. It's more that once it happened a few times in big situations, then every snap you're thinking, all right, I got to do this right. Okay, now this year, everything's different. Literally everything is different. And you can kind of start fresh. And I think that will be big for him. Having a veteran, a guy who's played, won an SEC championship, played in the college football playoff, having him being the center, the apex of your offensive line, I think that's a good thing for the Buckeyes. As long as those snaps are going back to the quarterback where he needs them, I think Seth McLaughlin will be a really important addition to this team as you kind of project into 2024. Will Kazmarek, it's like a C. This is an interesting one for me because, A, it's a tight end position that, you know, doesn't get a ton of buzz at Ohio State. You know, they've certainly had good ones over there at Ohio Stadium at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. But, you know, even a guy like Cade Stover, Jeremy Ruckert, Jeff Heuermann, you know, it's just, that's not where the offense is tailored. It's not Georgia and Brock Bowers or, you know, the New England Patriots and Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, right? So it's not a sexy position, but you're losing a guy in Cade Stover who was important to what you did. And you don't have the guy to step up immediately and, you know, fill in that spot. When Jeremy Ruckert left, you knew it was going to be Cade Stover, right? G. Scott was there, but G. Scott has been fairly inconsistent with his play. You know, former wide receiver, I think back to that Rutgers game last season, really good start, catches a touchdown and then has a drop, then had a few other plays that weren't, you know, it's just the inconsistency right now. And I like G. Scott a lot. I think he's going to be a really big emotional leader on this team. And I still think he has a spot. But for me, bringing in a guy like Will Kaczmarek is a sign that you felt there was a need there and you went and found a guy who could do it. Now, comes from Ohio University. I've talked to a few of my friends when this first happened back in, I think, late December. They were like, you know, the best they could do was a guy from OU and not even the Oklahoma OU. And I'm like, look, I think that you've seen it. Power five teams can go in the transfer portal and bring in guys that can make an impact from, you know, guys that were missed. And that's what Will Kaczmarek talked about in recruiting. He was part of that class during the pandemic where there wasn't the normal evaluations in terms of what you are generally getting to see. You know, players weren't going to camps. You weren't able to get the evaluations that you normally do. And so some guys went overlooked and Will Kaczmarek thinks he is one of those guys. And if you look at what he did at OU, I think there's certainly an argument to be made for that. Took a redshirt season and then the last 2 years caught 42 passes for 507 yards and 2 touchdowns. Nothing crazy, but you know, at Ohio State, you don't need crazy from the tight end position. He's a willing blocker. He, has ties to Ohio, even though I think he's from St. Louis. Spent the last three years at OU. So, you know, now kind of understands what Ohio State means to people in Ohio. And I think that's important. He's willing to do what's needed to win. And I think that is what you want from the tight end position at Ohio State. You know, guy who's going to be the blocker, but can also go out and make some plays. And in my mind, Will Kaczmarek is the likely starting tight end heading into 2024. G. Scott will have that opportunity as well. But the experience that Kaczmarek has and the production, frankly, is the greatest on the roster. So for me, he is a guy who, fills a hole that you had because there's not a ton of depth there. You know, Jelani Thurman, young guy, still kind of coming into his own. We'll see what he can do this spring and kind of stepping in. You know, didn't play a ton this past season. I know he actually started the Cotton Bowl, but still didn't play much there. Just, you know, still kind of they need him to be more all around than just a pass catcher. And, you know, that will take some time, just like it did with G. Scott. It was kind of a similar situation. G. Scott, obviously a converted receiver, like I said, but that's essentially what Jelani Thurman was in high school as well. They have some guys there, but just no one that's obviously the guy that's going to step in. So they went to the portal. They found a guy with experience. I like the move. I'm going to be honest. Now, in terms of my expectations, statistically, I don't know. I don't think you put Cade Stover numbers on him necessarily. Last season, Cade Stover caught 41 passes for 576 yards, 5 touchdowns. So not far off from what, Will did in his career at OU. And obviously we'll be playing with better players. In terms of you assume with Will Howard, it's quarterback, could he be somewhere in between the 22 catches he had a season ago, 22 catches, 243 yards, 2 touchdowns, and where Cade Stover was? I think that would be a very reasonable expectation in terms of production. And then, you know, could he improve on the blocking from the tight end position? Because, you know, Cade Stover, I believe he actually spoke about this at the combine, at the NFL combine, but it just wasn't always up to snuff I think some of it had to do with injuries and whatnot. And it's not that Cade Stover can't do it. It just didn't always come off the way they wanted. So can you improve a little bit there? Maybe you lose a little bit receiving, but you overall have a pretty good player. And I think that's what the Buckeyes saw when they evaluated the tight end position and found a guy not far down the road in Will Kaczmarek. Flipping to the defensive side of the ball, and it's interesting with the way that the defense was viewed a year ago and, you know, bringing in transfer guys a year ago. What was it? Out of the 9 guys Ohio State brought in, 4 of them were defensive players. This year, out of 6 guys, only 1 is a defensive player, but he's a good one. And that is safety Caleb Downs. I think the expectation for Caleb Downs should be as high as you can go. I remember sitting in the press box at Ohio Stadium after one of Ohio State's games this year, and they had the Alabama game on, and I forget who Alabama was playing, but Caleb Downs made some plays in that game. And, you know, I'm sitting there writing and, you know, kind of glancing up at the TV screen. I felt like every time I glanced up and Alabama was on defense, it was the Caleb Downs show. And I remember saying to one of the other writers sitting by me, you know, man, they certainly could have used him on this defense. And look, it's not like Ohio State's defense was bad last year in the slightest, but this is just a difference maker defensively. Leading Alabama's defense with 107 tackles, had 2 interceptions, had a fumble recovery, 4 passes broken up, forced a fumble, 4 punt returns, for 87 yards, had a touchdown in that, you know, something he could also help Ohio State in that department. So look, Caleb Downs is going to come in and start right away. He's going to replace Josh Proctor. I think if you don't land a Caleb Downs, say Nick Saban doesn't retire. Cheers. And that's a cheers to Nick Saban retiring. A, because he's the GOAT. B, because it's benefited the Buckeyes so significantly this offseason. But if Nick Saban doesn't retire, or if he does and Caleb Downs decides he's still not going to, you know, enter the transfer, or he ends up at Georgia, you know, the Buckeyes would have been fine. Malik Hartford showed some flashes last year. They would have been in. But I think bringing in a guy like Caleb Downs takes the seal, whatever the defense's ceiling was, or specifically the secondary ceiling would have been in 2024, and raises it quite a bit. You know, this is a guy who we talked about his preparation, and, you know, he talked about how he's either watching film, either in the facility or at his apartment, or he's playing video games. But that's really about it. That's what he does. He's a football guy, and he has significant discipline. You know, he kind of grew up. This is his dream. And that, while that's true about a lot of these guys, you know, he's a guy who clearly put the work in. You don't just start in Alabama secondary as a true freshman, because, you know, it's not like anybody can do that. Then to be the best player in that secondary, maybe the best player in that defense, arguably one of the best safeties in the country as a true freshman, shows the kind of work that this kid puts in along with his natural abilities. And, you know, he wants to know the whole defense. He wants to essentially be that quarterback of the defense, know where every guy's going to be. You know, I think that'll be big, especially because you're losing a guy like Tommy Eichenberg, who's been that guy the last couple of seasons. So having Caleb Downs from that perspective is huge. But then just his skill, right? The abilities that he has to, you know, make plays, make tackles. You know, I read you the statistics. You know, I was actually surprised he only had 2 interceptions last year. I felt like I saw him intercept the ball more. Maybe I also happened to see his fumble recovery and his punt return and just assumed they were all interceptions. But, you know, I really think he can be a, you know, take what I was already a highly ranked defense with a lot of guys coming back and push the ceiling that much higher. You know, there aren't many players like him out there. And, you know, the Buckeyes wanted him coming out of high school, were close, didn't get it, but made sure they got the guy the second time around. and you're going to get 2 years with him, at least. I assume you only get two, but you know, technically he could play longer. That is 2 years to potentially have the best defensive player in college football. Not bad. Not bad at all. I think Jim Knowles will be happy. We've already talked to Matt Guerrieri about Caleb Downs, and he was gushing over him. So, look, I think this is a home run. Of these transfers, I think Caleb Downs may have the biggest impact. Now, was he the biggest position of need? No. That was probably on the offensive line, and maybe they haven't even filled that yet. That's a topic for another day. But certainly he may be, looking back on this transfer class, he may be the best of the group. Now, there's another guy, the last guy in this group, and that's Julian Say, the quarterback, who I think will also have his say in being the best guy of this group, but probably not in 2024, unless things go very differently than I expect. Julian Say, for those that aren't aware, but I'm sure most of you are, was in the 2024 recruiting class, committed, signed with Alabama. He enrolled at Alabama, practiced a little bit before they played Michigan, and then obviously entered the transfer portal, ends up at Ohio State. I know there's been frustration because the way that the 24/7 sports rankings do things, Julian Say isn't listed as a member of Ohio State's 2024 class. Look, I don't make the rules in those things. He transferred, so technically he's a part of the transfer. There are rankings that include both the transfers and the high school commits. So if you're into where the Buckeyes fell, there are rankings you can look at. I know other sites have done things differently, but that's the way we're going to do it, at least for now. But in terms of what Julian Say can do, cheers. You know, I think this year is going to be a learning year, but also a year that needs to be competitive for him. He's going into a quarterback room that, as we record this, features not only Will Howard and Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz, but also Aaron Nolan, who Julian Say was the, I think, the number two quarterback in the recruiting rankings, number three quarterback, excuse me, in the 2024 rankings. Aaron Nolan was number seven. So you've got two of the top seven quarterbacks from the 2024 class on the Buckeye roster. I think what you'll see, well, first of all, we don't know what's going to happen with the rest of that room. You know, does Devin Brown look to transfer? Does Lincoln Kienholz look to transfer? You know, that's to be determined, obviously. But I think if I'm Julian Say, I'm looking at this year as, okay, I'm competing to move as high up the depth chart as I can as a freshman. And, you know, that has the potential to be the backup to, again, assuming Will Howard, you know, if he can show that he's ready. Remember a few years ago, CJ Stroud's sophomore year, his first year as a starter, it's Kyle McCord who was his backup, a true freshman, not Jack Miller. Julian Sand will have to earn this, but the talent is undoubtedly there. And, you know, I don't want to take anything away from these other guys because I also believe they're talented, but there's a reason he was ranked as highly as he was. And I think coming into a room like this with Aaron Nolan in the same class and with these other guys, you need to push each other, right? Each of these guys needs to push the other to be the best that they can be. And that includes Will Howard, assuming he wins the job. You know, he needs to feel every day, not that the job's not his, but just know there's a lot of talent back there, right? And there's a guy like Julian Sayin behind you, you know, potentially who, you know, yeah, he's a freshman. Yeah, he doesn't have the experience you do, but he's got a lot of talent. And so for this season, that's my expectation, is see how high up the depth chart. And unfortunately, we don't get an actual depth chart anymore under Ryan Day, but see how high up in that depth chart Julian Sayin can get. And then, you know, maybe get some snaps, get some experience. You know, Ryan Day's talked a lot about the length of the season, like we were talking about with the running backs earlier. And the same should be true with the quarterbacks. Not that you're going to rotate them, but when you get the chance to get Will Howard out of the game, get Will Howard out of the game and get some of these other guys snaps, especially the young guys. So you're ready down the road. You know, I just think with as talented of a room as that is, you can't just play Will Howard into the fourth quarter when you don't need to, because you don't want him hurt and you want to get these other guys experience. That's my Ryan Day has not traditionally done that as early, at least as I would, but I wonder if that changes this year because you have a Julian Say and Aaron Nolan on the roster. Looking forward, I think what Julian Say can do by climbing his way up the depth chart, if he has a good spring, good fall camp, you know, he's competing, right? Maybe he's not competing for that starting job this year, but the coaches are watching what Julian Say and what Aaron Nolan, what all these guys are doing. And, you know, that'll continue to be in the back of their minds as they eventually go on to make decisions beyond 2024, right? And kind of who's going to be the guy going forward. So the opportunity is there for Julian Sain to set himself up for success. Now, beyond 2024, you know, whether he is the starting quarterback in 2025 or whatnot, for me, if Julian Sain doesn't start at Ohio State at some point in the next couple of years, beyond 2024, something went wrong because he's just too talented not to win that job at some point. But he's got to do it. And, you know, Aaron Nolan, I would have said the exact same thing about him. I think from people I've talked to that have seen both guys play, I've seen a little bit of both guys, and I don't want to pretend to be a recruiting expert, but there is a bit of a difference between the two is my understanding. And I would agree from the little bits that I've seen. So if you're Julian Sain, your goal has got to be, I'm going to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State in 20. Frankly, what the hell? You might as well try and win the job this offseason and be the starting quarterback in 2024. But I think the more realistic goal would be the starting quarterback in 2025, have two great seasons a la CJ Stroud off to the NFL. And, you know, we've seen what CJ Stroud did from there. That would kind of be the way that I would expect things to go for Julian Sain. Now, Aaron Nolan is going to have a part in that conversation. Lincoln Kienholz is going to. Devin Brown likely as well, assuming all those guys stay in the program. So it's not going to be easy for a young guy like Julian Sain. You know, when CJ Stroud got here, there was Justin Fields for sure, and there was Jack Miller. But it was pretty clear early on that CJ Stroud was going to be the heir apparent to Justin Fields. I don't think that it is that clear, at least right now. We'll see how things go in the spring and the fall and fall camp and then even into the season. I don't think it's that clear for Julian Sain, but I do think the opportunity is there. You know, you've got the chance. Don't waste this offseason is what I would say, because the competition for the starting job won't start after Will Howard walks out of that building. Everything all of these quarterbacks do over the next several months will be in the back of the coaches' minds as they kind of go to make that decision, or at least the starting points in making that decision heading into the 2025 offseason. All right. So those are the transfer portal guys. I did see we had a couple questions in the chat. So I will answer those. And then, like I said, this is going to be a little bit of a shorter show than we usually do with a lot going on, basketball game earlier tonight, all that stuff. So, let's get to the questions here. Jermaine H. Runnels, what do you think of the recruiting violations Ohio State announced? If you missed that, we have a story on Bucknuts about it. You can go read the whole thing. I won't go into all of it. But basically, since the summer, Ohio State has had some minor recruiting violations, things like providing a player or player's legal guardian with a photo edit that they're not supposed to do, a booster taking a picture with the guy, a staff member commenting on Twitter about what was pretty clearly Caleb Downs' commitment to Ohio State before he actually signed. You can't do that. Those type of things. None of it was anything alarming. I think, honestly, there's probably programs around the country that have done similar, if not the same things, and probably didn't report them. We know Ohio State's compliance department is pretty strict. Maybe one of the strictest in the countries. And so, you know, it's, I guess, better to report these things than have it come out later, I guess. For me, they are minor, but still just fairly minor. kind of stupid stuff that you know, I don't even know why some of these things are rules. I'm going to be honest with you. The NCAA has placed a lot of these rules in place that you look up, back on, especially now with like NIL and things, you're like, why? And some of these are, if a booster, I guess I get the spirit of the rule with a booster not being able to take a picture with the kid on the sidelines because you don't want the influence. But, you know, we're in such a Wild West world in college football now. Who really cares at this point? You know, if a booster taking a, you know, I mean, LeBron James stands on the sidelines at Ohio State sometimes. And like, is that an unfair recruiting advantage? I guess you can pitch LeBron James, but like, sorry. You know, that's the way I would feel if I'm the Buckeyes, right? And not saying this was LeBron James, it's not, but just, you know, using an example. I thought they were all, you report them, you get some minor slaps on the wrist. You know, Brian Hartline couldn't recruit for a week or something along those lines. Read the story, but it's all just silly stuff. And we may look back on this down the road and think, similar to the way we think about Tatgate now with NIL, like, oh, there was a time the NCAA cared about things like that. So, you know, that's kind of my take on it. Matt Swavel, sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Top two running backs in the nation, and we're wanting him, I assume you're referring to Will Howard, be a mobile quarterback. No, I don't want him to be a mobile quarterback. He doesn't want to be a mobile quarterback. I think where he can use his ability with his legs is in the red zone, because as Urban Meyer used to talk about a lot, having a mobile quarterback, or at least the threat of a mobile quarterback, means the defense has to account for all 11 players there as opposed to just 10. And it makes life more difficult. I think more often than not, when the Buckeyes get in the red zone next year, they're going to run the ball with the running backs. But I think there will be times when Will Howard, whether it's keeping the ball on a read play or design quarterback run, you'll see him carrying, and you know, especially as you get in short, carrying the ball. And I imagine he scores some rushing touchdowns. But no, I don't think it will look anything like a Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor, JT Barrett, a Justin Fields even. I think it will be, when needed, you use Will Howard's legs. And you know, I think that's a good way to go about it. Cheers. Unless you have any other questions, I don't think I missed it. The last, more of a comment, but I saw Jermaine Runnels said, Jelani Thurman should be the star at tight end. I don't disagree with you. I talked about him a little bit. I don't disagree that he should be a star. I'm just not sure he's ready to do all the things Ohio State requires from the tight end position. And we know that it's not, you know, the primary pass catchers are the receivers. Now, if and when Jelani Thurman earns the right to be on the field more, does that shift and they start using him? Again, I'll use the example of Brock Bowers at Georgia. Do you start using him more? That's quite possible. But there's no rush to get him on the field when you have the pass catchers that you do. And you look at what Georgia had these last couple of years. It wasn't like there was a plethora of really talented wide receivers. So they kind of had to use Brock Bowers in that way and use his skills. But Jelani Thurman has all the talent to be a superstar at Ohio State. And I do think in 2024, you need to start getting him more involved on the offense because he is that talented. And you know, you don't just want to waste another year of a guy that's that talented. But I don't make the calls, right? So we will see how his role grows this season. But I do, you know, going back to it, I do think Will Kaczmarek was brought in to be the starting tight end. I think G. Scott was certainly in the mix there as well. And then, you know, is Jelani Thurman ready to be in the mix there as a third 2B type guy? That's kind of up to him, and that'll be what this offseason determines. I will be publishing, this is Thursday that we're recording this, my questions for tight ends heading into spring practice. So if you're interested in more tight end talk, you can find it there. All right, we're going to wrap it up. This was a relatively quick, but I still think important Bucknuts happy hour. Wanted to talk about those transfer guys because we just hadn't really dove into all of them, bits and pieces, obviously, as they committed and things like that. But I thought, you know, kind of giving my perspective on where their expectations are in my mind, I thought would be interesting. And we're going to start off with spring practice next week. So we'll have actual football to talk about. We're supposed to get interviews with Ryan Day and Chip Kelly next week. The juniors that returned as well at some point next week. So stay tuned. We will have plenty of stuff from all of that. And, you know, we're off and running then. There will be a brief spring break period after the first week. And then they'll pick back up after that. I think it's the week of the 11th of March. But it's off and running. And Buckeye basketball, I would be doing Timmy Hall and Steve Hellwag a disservice, not to mention Buckeye basketball tonight. Got a big one at home against Nebraska. Can they get a little bit of a run going here at the end of the season? You got Nebraska, a team that beat them earlier in the season tonight, and then you've got Michigan at home on Sunday. Could you, you know, put together after that win at Michigan State, put together three wins in a row before you go to Rutgers and go to the Big Ten tournament? I think that would be a nice little way to end the season, and then who knows what happens in the tournament. So we shall see. I'll be there. Steve is at the Combine covering all of that for us at Bucknuts. So if you're interested in what's going on there, follow along with Steve's work. I'm helping out with that too from home. Thank you all for tuning in to another Bucknuts Happy Hour. I hope this was entertaining for everybody. And we will talk to you next week, Buckeye fans. Cheers.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.